many people in these six potential strategies that would help us. First, things like present bias, loss aversion, hyperbolic discounting. We know that it's pretty hard for people to think long-term, to think of future generations. And we know that people are more negative about anticipated losses than they're positive about anticipated gains, which makes us just very, very, stable on the one hand, on the other hand, also hard to move. Another issue is low salience, because we know that learning actually comes from experiencing thing, and many consequences of our current consumption are either invisible, like greenhouse gases, or below sensing threshold, or they happen somewhere else on this planet. And I think this is changing actually a bit. So maybe if those terrible extreme weather events and the heat-related deaths and floods and droughts have one positive effect, then it brings kind of those long-term effects closer to us, which helps us as human decision makers to act on things. Similar missing immediate feedback. Yeah, we usually learn through feedback. And if this happens elsewhere or a long time in the future, it's not ideal. And another group of barriers have to do with information and learning. So consumer confusion, it's not easy to be a sustainable consumer, even if you want to. It's sometimes complex. There's lots of hassle in between, lots of effort, and often things are not that clear. So climate attribution theory is not there where it could be. On top, we know there's lots of misinformation, disinformation, some of it intentionally, some of it just happens because we do not know better. And this is kind of crowned by polarization that just makes it really, really difficult once you are in an echo chamber or in a groupthink bubble to exit and to do things differently. And then we have the more kind of typical econ problems of free riding. There's a lot of distrust in collectively managing the commons. And also something that makes it difficult to act for many people is that we do not really have one specific volume, as opposed to many of those wars we have just heard about. It's more or less the result of countless faceless people colluding. And that makes collective action more difficult. Now, in consumer research, we use a very simple, we have also more complicated models, but I share with you a very simple model. And this is where Christianity and our core values and beliefs also come in. So we basically see that human behavior is influenced and based on people's capabilities, the opportunities they find, and motivation, sometimes called Combi or Moab model. And this is actually in the motivation part, this is where core values and belief systems come in, because intrinsic motivation is that motivates us most. And intrinsic motivation also can be successful without feedback, without those external rewards. This is really about intrinsic values and belief systems. And this is, of course, where I think religious traditions have potentially a very strong effect and can have a very positive effect, because while religious traditions are very rich in values, beliefs, symbols, practices that emphasize simple living, talking about sufficiency, social justice, which is the core of sustainable development, altruism, which is doing things for others, environmental stewardship, which is long-term thinking, and general care of creation. Also, traditionally, there is a very strong kind of counter-consumerism is part of many religious traditions. So it's against throwaway culture, overconsumption, and all kind of wastefulness. Most religions also promote a culture of moderation. So the primacy of being over having, of community over selfishness. They also promote a culture of education and prayer. My own college, which is Queen's College in Cambridge, has that's the motto, the mission of the college. It's about identity, spirituality, mindfulness, inspiration. And this is really important because we know, I did some research on buying addiction. And these are, of course, very extreme cases. But one of those mottos, one of those motives we often found in these, I did over 100 interviews with buying, with self-defined buying addicts, they say, it's something like a hole in my soul. It's an emptiness I want to fill with consumption. And I think here is your alternatives to kind of fill this emptiness. Religions usually also come with a duty of solidarity with the poor and the excluded, teach love for one's neighbor, compassion for others, promote ethical business practices regarding interests and debts. And I also think something that is sometimes under evaluated is that churches are communities and networks that influence everyday practice or can influence them a lot. And so that means they are kind of platform and learning communities where a lot can actually be done. I had to select, and I selected two examples from the Catholic Church. First of all, maybe because I'm Catholic, so a little bit biased. Second, because it's just the largest Christian denomination worldwide. And so one is the Pope Francis encyclical letter Laudato Si, which is basically something like it's an encyclica on the care of what he calls our common home, which is basically kind of a blueprint for a sustainable society and a sustainable economy. And the second one is also is the Economy of Francesco. So Francesco is not Pope Francis, but Francesco of Assisi, which is a blueprint for an economy that is based on a sustainable development and all those values and beliefs that I just noted. I'm very much aware that the different churches have very similar initiatives. And I'm also very much aware that they're more or less successful. I think what I kind of like, of course, also as a scientist, is that Laudato Si has been developed largely by the Papal Academy, and actually some of our colleagues in Cambridge are, and they're not Catholic, a member of the Papal Academy. And I also found, I really like the scientific rigor that has been put in both of those initiatives. So being an empirical researcher, of course, I ask myself, are there actually correlations? Are those two things interlinked? And I did a search, however, it was not a systematic literature review. This is something, by the way, I was really inspired by preparing for this talk to do, and something I will do in the next year. And so this is a little bit eclectic, and I please, my apologies for doing so, but I think I got like the tip of the iceberg. So for instance, there's some empirical studies in whether church going is correlated with a ecologically, socially conscious and frugal consumer behavior. And there are some, I think it was a rather small sample, but there are some indications to link much less materialistic values and higher levels of altruism with that type of frugal consumer behavior. Then another study I found really interesting, because it used both Christian and Buddhist religions, found that religious affiliation and level of religiosity significantly influence sustainable consumption behaviors. And so this is a citation from the study. Religion can partly explain the attitude behavior gap. And this is something what we're really interested in, because we regularly found very high attitudes. So in the latest Eurobarometer, for instance, 2/3 of most EU population said, yes, we do have, we want climate and environmental progress. But then when you look at what they actually do when they go and vote with their wallet, it's much, much less. So the attitude behavior gap is huge. Poland is a very interesting country, because people are very well educated. At the same time, it's a very Catholic Christian country. And so there's this case study based on how Sunday shopping was actually phased out and by a strong, led by Christian values, but then it became also popular among atheist groups. And they managed to kind of almost completely reduce it. Yes, as I said, Poland is an interesting country. There seems to be also quite some literature and some empirical research. There's one study that found the level of religiousness, which was measured by prayers and socially conscious consumption, to be positively correlated, something we would expect. But it's always interesting to see how that empirically holds. And yes, this is also an interesting recent study that looked into religious values versus cultural values. And I think this is also a really interesting research area for the future, because of course they are intertwined, but they're not the same. Particularly religious values, this is one of the results of this studies, are really interesting because they are simply much more enduring value systems than cultural values that can be more easily gained but also left. Last slide. So I had actually a lot of thoughts. I couldn't really, usually I try to, like 5 take-home messages or those things that we do in business schools. I couldn't really get my head around it. So I called it afterthoughts. And so when I also right now looking at the US and the current kind of pre-election things that are ongoing and the role of evangelicals, sometimes I think, while myself, I mean, I'm a practicing a Christian, sometimes I think maybe wouldn't it be better just to leave it to things like sustainable development, to the UN Declaration of Human Rights? I mean, it basically says it all, and leave the world of religions to our private lives? I don't have an answer. This is why there is both an exclamation mark and a question mark. A second afterthought is really what really drives the differences. And I think there is some research there, but we could do much, much more. So is it really religion or culture? How much is religion? How much is culture? For instance, we know, of course, a lot about the different like Western and Eastern cultures, collectivistic, individualistic cultures. But there must be also an influence from the Western religions that believe that God created nature and therefore God and humans are in a superior position, versus those Eastern religions that follow a pantheistic view and God is part of the nature. So I'm sure there is probably very, very good research, but maybe not from an economic perspective. Third, another thought is that religion is itself affected by consumer culture, particularly when I look sometimes at social media, which is something I rarely do more, and then only for kind of research reasons. But religious beliefs are also, they're almost like commodities. And commodities means they can be picked up, but also easily discarded. And there's also a big potential for misuse of power and influence. And my last thought is that, so that comes probably from the discussion we currently have in behavioral economics. There's this kind of tension between being focused on individual choices versus systemic change that is needed towards more sustainable consumption to solve the climate crisis. And I ask myself, does religion focus too much on the I level, the individual level, or does it rather encourage collective level efforts that are, of course, needed? We need good regulation. We need a strong government to lead us into a more sustainable future. So, as I said, unfortunately, I'm ending here with 4 more questions than answers, but thank you very much again for...